world with a mission of investing in dreams in these families' lives. Do so and
looked at a host of leaders, both in scriptured and today.
So this is something that has, as you guys have implemented this as leaders of the organization, you're finding
to an organization that already had rich habits of individual and corporate prayer.
Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Peter Greer and Dan Williams. Peter is the president and CEO of Hope International and one of the authors of Lead with Prayer. And Dan Williams is the VP of Integrated Strategy, where he's served for Hope International for 13 years and was an integral part of putting this book into practice within Hope as an organization. Guys, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Great to be here.
Can you guys tell us a little bit about Hope International, maybe share some of your experiences leading that organization, and maybe specifically as it relates to writing this book, Lead with Prayer?
Yeah, well, I'm happy to get us started. So Hope International, we are a Christ-centered network of microfinance institutions and savings group ministries that operates in underserved communities around the world with a mission of investing in dreams in these families' lives as we proclaim and live the gospel, and do so in right around 24 countries around the world at this point in time.
Yeah, and maybe I'll just add in the connection to the book is, as we do this work, we know that we are trying to do something that is absolutely beyond our ability. We are trying to end extreme poverty around the world and introduce individuals to the good news of Jesus. And there is no ability of wisdom or planning that can see that happen. So we've been on this journey to say, what does it look like for us to be a prayerful organization? And my friend Ryan Skoog reached out and said, what if we wrote a book that was really about the prayer practices of leaders and organizations? What if we had the opportunity to sit at the feet of global leaders and say, just as the disciples did when they went to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. So that has been the journey that we have been on. What can we learn from global leaders who really do prioritize prayer? What can we learn about that? And then what can we implement to become a more prayerful organization? So that is the journey that we've been on for the last several years.
That's cool. And one of the topics that comes up in this show quite often, talking with other ministry leaders, is what is that balance of strategy and pursuit of the Holy Spirit and where the Holy Spirit might be guiding the ministry, the leaders, the organization. And so I'm excited to talk with you guys about this because it does seem to be a conversation that comes up quite often, at least in this show. So can you guys give us a brief overview of the book, Lead with Prayer, and maybe share some inspiration behind co-authoring it and maybe some of the problems or challenges that you ran into that caused you to start thinking, maybe we need to write a book on this.
Yeah, it was interesting when Ryan reached out and asked if I'd want to join him on this book writing journey. My immediate response was, Ryan, that sounds like an amazing book. I can't wait to read it, but I am out. I am not joining you in this journey. And part of the reason, Zach, is because not long before this, we had a day of prayer. And with Hope International, we do this quarterly. We had a day that was set aside for prayer. But that particular day, we were dealing with some operational challenges. We work in some places around the world that are really facing significant challenges, including Ukraine and Haiti. And that day, I remember I walked a lot, I fretted a lot, and I prayed little. I couldn't get my mind, I couldn't get my heart to just slow down. So here's Ryan saying, do you want to write a book on prayer? And I'm thinking, I've got a prayer problem on that. But the next day, it was a Saturday morning. I remembered as well as Ryan, but thought maybe I was a little too quick. Maybe I should pause just for a moment and pray about this. And the overwhelming sense that I had is, Peter, don't miss out on the journey. And I am so grateful. We approach this project not as prayer experts, but as individuals that really do have that posture of saying, how can we learn how to pray? How can we grow in this? And that is absolutely what has happened. But the statistics are clear. Most leaders have an influence that grows over time and a prayer life that declines. Most individuals in latter years of ministry tend to rely on their own ability and expertise and not nurtured in this vibrant prayer life. And so what happens if we have a host of leaders, and the stats are really clear, there are a lot of leaders that have influence, that have positions, and yet do not have vibrant prayer lives. What happens when there is a disconnect? And so that was really the starting point of saying, we know that's a problem. We want to figure out what it looks like to become leaders who really do prioritize prayer. And what we found is there's a lot of books on prayer. There's a lot of books on leadership. There's not a lot that look at the prayer lives of leaders. And so really, that was what we were really dialing in. And we had just some incredible interviews with leaders, some that were well-known, like, you know, Francis Chan and Johnny Erickson Tada, and some that were less known, like leaders around the world that really had these vibrant prayer lives. So that was really the model, and it was just amazing. We heard consistent themes again and again of the prayer practices that sustained these leaders over their life of service. And it was really, it truly, truly transformational in my own life. And I would say transformational in the way that Hope International has really grown into trying to create this culture of prayer.
Dan, would you add anything to that?
Yeah, well, I think some of the things that I could share is, you know, whenever Peter goes on one of these journeys of exploring one of these topics, one of the things that I've enjoyed is how much that shapes the conversation of the organization. And that has certainly been true at Hope International as he's been on this journey. And so even before the book was published, even before it was ready, he was sharing some of these concepts. And I can think back even to an executive leadership group retreat that we had last spring, and they shared an early chapter of some of what they were learning through this book. And it was catalytic for me in bringing about a total renewal in my own personal prayer habits in life. I had found myself as a leader kind of stuck in a habit and a routine that the way I would describe it is my conversations with the Lord were often more frustrated than fruitful. And so this resource and the findings from these conversations with these leaders from around the world were transformational for me in considering how I can be a leader that is rooted in a rich and vibrant dependence on the Lord in prayer. And not just for my ministry within Hope International, but for my ministry within my family and within my community as well.
So as you guys did these interviews and performed some of the research going into this book, did you find any correlation between what was going on with a leader's and that their ministry's growth, and why or how it was correlated to the decrease in what their prayer life might look like? What did you find any interesting discoveries in there that might speak to our audience?
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things that we found was a study that was done by Robert Clinton. And what he found is he looked at a host of leaders, both in Scripture and today, and he found that of the leaders that did not finish well, every single one had long before lost any sense of a deep and meaningful sense of personal prayer. That was a indicator of the story not necessarily finishing well. And I think it's so easy. It is so easy to do, right? Because over time, we've got our plans, we've got our systems, mm-hmm. we've got our competencies, we've read all of the leadership books about the tools, tricks, and techniques of how to be better leaders. And yet, what is the unintentional result? Too often, it is then that inward look, our gifts, our abilities, our leadership, and perhaps not leaving much room for the Holy Spirit to work, not leaving much room for God to do something in us and through us. And I think that any story that centers on self is a story that doesn't end well.
So it was less about how busy they were or how much time they had or how great their rhythms of life might look like. It sounds like much more to do with something else entirely.
It was. And one of the fascinating things is if you look at the prayer life of Jesus, something that we studied as we were doing this, what is the prayer life of Jesus? And as we see his ministry take off, there are more, not less, instances where Jesus went away to a solitary place and prayed. even the night before he went to the cross. There are more instances. And so I guess the question for you and for me is, do we think we are busier than Jesus? Do we think that we have more, you know, available time? And so I think that it is modeled by Jesus, but not practiced enough by his followers. And that's really been the journey that we've been on.
So in this world filled with, you've talked about a lot of leadership methodologies, why do you guys believe that Christian leaders have to prioritize prayer? And how do you think it impacts ministry effectiveness in a, maybe in a tangible way?
Yeah, that's, I love that question, Zach, because I think one of the challenges that is wrapped up in that is often, what are the indicators of success that the world would want us to pay attention to and that we ourselves are paying attention to? Because they do point to a certain sort of fruitfulness or impact that we are seeking, and that's a part of being faithful. And so there's this rich set of KPIs, key performance indicators, that we're regularly paying attention to at Hope to understand how we are working and operating and the impact that we're having through our work. But if that's the only thing that we're paying attention to, we're missing some really important indicators. And some of those can only truly be found in taking our eyes off of those indicators that point to growth, that point to more families being served, that point to our financials being in a healthy position, and point to that question of how are we doing at being faithful with what God has entrusted to us. And there's a piece of that that can only fully be explored in conversation with the Lord, and in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and in community, doing that together, that the spiritual transformation that the Lord wants to bring about in our lives, there's a piece of that that is personal, but the work that he wanted to do within an organization is greater than the sum of the parts of the individual prayer lives of the people in that community. And so there's a work that we believe God wants to do in us corporately that is best done corporately. And so that's why we want to prioritize these times of spending time corporately in prayer so that we can hear from the Lord and have a better understanding of where are we in terms of being faithful, not just where are we in terms of what our performance indicators might show.
Yeah, and the thing I would add too is that, you know, it is possible to make meaningful progress. It is possible to grow in creating a culture of prayer. And the journey that we've been on is, and I think for anyone that might look at their life of leadership or their organizational culture and say, you know, it's not quite as vibrant as I would like it to be, it is possible to make small but meaningful steps to grow in that. And a lot of times it just starts with saying, what do we believe? What do we value? And then how do we put that into practice? And I think that's also been part of the journey of just recognizing wherever it is, whatever your starting point is, it is possible to grow. And maybe, just maybe, to grow from feeling like this is something we have to do to something, this is something we get to do, from a place of this is a duty that I feel, to no, this is an absolute delight that we get to have this incredible mystery of prayer. And yeah, and to find greater depth as a result of really saying, let's prioritize, let's explore, let's go on this journey together.
More so than helping us to establish some of these rhythms, one of the things that even when I joined Hope 13 years ago, I was so thrilled to come to an organization that already had rich habits of individual and corporate prayer times built into the rhythms of the organization. But it's allowed us to rediscover and refresh the desire that we have for these times and what we feel like the Lord is inviting us to experience through them, and to help a growing organization recenter around that. And again, especially in a period over the past couple of years where we've been blessed to grow in the number of members of our team and the number of programs that we are working alongside, how do we recenter our focus on Christ as the source of all growth, of the source of all health, rather than, again, looking to those outward manifestations of what the world might call success?
So this is something that has, as you guys have implemented this as leaders of the organization, you're finding that, one, it's trickling down to the rest of the organization, but it's helping you guys establish these prayerful rhythms as a entire team and ecosystem and organization.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been involved in a number of books and I've never done one alone. I've always had the gift of doing it with friends. And I just think that sharpens it. And the experience is really, I truly enjoy the process of going on this alone. So we brought different perspectives. Cameron came with a research perspective, and he had just been part of a very significant study on prayer for a leading foundation. He also was with John Mark Comer's organization, Practicing the Way, and trying to figure out how to reinvigorate some of the ancient practices in the world today. And then Ryan, entrepreneur, came at this with someone who has been on an incredible prayer journey just personally and with his family, and brought so many of the personal stories and has spent time praying with leaders from around the world. And so we each brought our different and unique perspective. And it's interesting though, Zach, maybe this is part of what you're asking, is that we each had a different voice in how we communicate and how we write. And so the name that needs to be listed anytime it is talked about this book, it is not just Ryan, Cameron, and Peter. It is also Jill Heise. So Jill was the master weaver. She was the one who took the three voices, brought them together. And there would be no book without Jill. So she was instrumental, so much more than an editor on this process, and really blended the voices together and turned our stories and our very rough words into the book that it is. So super grateful for Jill.
Well, and it's so much like the God that we serve to desire and to invite us into this deep, intimate relationship, and prayer is so integral and such a crucial part of that. My wife and I are going through the foster process, and as foster parents, we have a little baby in our home right now. And going into this process, I maybe had the mindset that this is just these hard things that we are supposed to do and we're obligated to do as Christians, is what we do, right? I've grown up in the church. It's just what you do. It's an obligation because that's just what you're supposed to do as a Christian. And so stepping into this because it was really out of obligation, or maybe that was part of the heart motivation behind it. Now, having gone through it, and still in that process, what was really, I think, going on and part of the thing that I've learned, I think maybe the theme that's coming out of all this, the thing that the Lord's been speaking to me about the most, is these things that he invites us into that are hard and that he promises are going to come with struggle and challenge and strife. Ultimately, what I found is in the midst of that, because I now have to depend on him so much more, I have to trust in him so much more, I have to lean on him so much more. Really, at the end of the day, that invitation into that hard thing was an invitation into deeper and more intimate relationship with him, and not just this obligation and thing that I'm supposed to do because I'm a Christian. And so I think that that applies with what you guys are talking about too. This is, Dan, you talked about this, prayer, like we see it all throughout scripture. It's just a thing you're supposed to do, right? But really what it is an invitation into deep, intimate relationship with the Father. And that's what he's ultimately after. And so when we start to realize that, whether it is stepping into something hard, like what my wife and I are experiencing, or what you guys are doing with your organization, and the shifts that you're making, like ultimately at the end of the day, it's God pursuing us and asking us and inviting us into deeper, more intimate relationship with him. And man, that's just a crazy invitation that the creator of heaven and earth wants to be in intimate relationship with us, right? It blows my mind every time. And I know that in my head, right? We know that in our head, but like really understanding that in our hearts is, I think, where often the disconnect is.
Yeah. And one of the pieces too that I would say is that every single chapter is, this is not just information. This is not just a series of stories. The goal is that we might all grow in our experience and time in prayer. And so every chapter has practices that we really pulled from a variety of different sources, but then we were trying, as Dan said, to put them into practice. And I think that has been the fun, that this is not just a book to read. This is an invitation into a deeper level of prayer. And that's our hope. Like our hope is not that this would be a book that would be read. Our hope is that this might be part of a movement of calling leaders, calling organizations to discover the great joy and delight of growing in prayer.
Peter, what was the collaboration process like with Ryan and Cameron? How did your different perspectives and experiences contribute to the overall message of the book?
Yeah, I mean, so there's so many, Zach, and our hope was to introduce enough that some are going to stick, some are going to be helpful, and some are not on that. So there really is a wide variety. So I'll just speak personally of some of the things that that I have done, learned, grown in. But the first, and maybe this is a really simple one, but I'm amazed when you look at Scripture at the variety of ways in which physical posture is described in prayer practices. And so one just real simple one was this practice, especially in the morning, of getting on our knees and starting our day in prayer. And it's amazing how physical posture impacts, influences our prayer on that. And then you look at other parts and literally coming with hands open and hands down, there were just so many practical ways in which the physical posture impacts the prayer life. So that's one that we did. The second thing is looking at all of the one sentence prayers in Scripture. Do you know how many one sentence prayers there are? There's a lot of them, and just having language to use. Third one that we did is we created these kind of prayer cards, intentionally low tech, because sometimes my mind wanders. And so having a guide based in Scripture, but then with these prompts, intentionally low tech. So, and again, all this stuff we wanted to make available for free, all these tools. If you want to see them, you can go to leadwithprayer.com. But all of those things, including the prayer cards that we found so helpful in just guiding and focusing us. And then maybe the last one, and this was something that we heard from the Global Church, is time of retreat and fasting is normative for the Global Church. And yet it does not seem that is quite as normative in the Western Church. So what can we learn about the longer terms of retreat, longer times of silence, and what is this connection about stopping something that we do on a regular basis and devoting that time, and how that sharpens the mind and deepens the prayer on that as well. So lots more I could say, but those are some of the personal ways that I've been impacted by the interviews, by the Global Church, and growing in prayer.
Yeah, being able to make sense of all those different voices and create something that flows seamlessly, man, that would be quite a challenge.
Yeah, and that's Justin Whitmill Early, and he's one of the people that we interviewed for the book, and he was so kind and so gracious in sharing his story and some of the practices that he has found. So yeah, The Common Rule is first book, also super helpful in that idea of a rule of life. And in some ways, this is just really a focused idea. Really, let's look at what would the rule of life be for prayer practices and go deep in that one particular aspect.
Dan, do you have anything that you could add to that as you watch Peter go through this authorship process with Ryan and Cameron, and then maybe implemented what they were discussing and talking about and were integral, it sounds like, in implementing that in Hope? And what was that process like for you?
Yeah, well, I would say part of the answer to that question, Zach, is we're very much still in process. So there were, you know, early glimpses that we were getting as Peter, Ryan, Cameron, and Jill were working on this project. And so much of what they have learned and synthesized in this book, we got glimpses of it in its earlier forms, but now we're at a point as an organization of more fully holding these principles and looking at our own personal and corporate prayer cultures and saying, okay, like we have rhythms that we're thankful for and that the Lord has been faithful through in meeting us And there's this invitation for us to look at those and say, what might it look like if we were to go even further to just as you talked about with your own journey, Zach, of like there's this invitation to deeper intimacy that is awaiting us. And what would it look like for us to take a step and follow that? And so that's where I would say watching Peter, Ryan, and Cameron and Jill go on this journey together and us walking alongside them from a different seat has helped to shape that conversation. And we're still in process and pursuing some changes in our corporate prayer practices. To learn and to respond to that invitation for deeper intimacy with the Lord.
Yeah, I can share just yesterday. I had lunch with a couple in Minnesota, and they were at we had a book launch event on Monday. And so then I was with them just shortly afterwards, and they had jumped into the book. And what I so appreciated from what they shared, it's exactly as Dan said. It was, you know, we kind of had been, the word they use is kind of just drifting in our prayer life. And this feels like it's reinvigorating, re-energizing, giving us new tools to practice and to learn more about this incredible gift of prayer. And I guess that stands out because that's it. It's simple, but that is the goal, that this might be an equipping of all of us to really grow in prayer. So that's one feedback, but it's brand new. So hopefully we're going to have more stories. But I think the biggest thing that we've heard so far is just this gives new tools, new ways to reinvigorate a prayer life. And for that, we're just super, super thankful.
That's a good segue for my next question. Just what are some of the practical tools and resources that leaders who might pick up this book can expect in real life application and real life scenarios?
Yeah, I mean, so there's so many, Zach, and our hope was to introduce enough that some are going to stick, some are going to be helpful, and some are not on that. So there really is a wide variety. So I'll just speak personally of some of the things that I have done, learned, grown in. But the first, and maybe this is a really simple one, but I'm amazed when you look at Scripture at the variety of ways in which physical posture is described in prayer practices. And so one just real simple one was this practice, especially in the morning, of getting on our knees and starting our day in prayer. And it's amazing how physical posture impacts, influences our prayer on that. And then you look at other parts and literally coming with hands open and hands down. There were just so many practical ways in which the physical posture impacts the prayer life. So that's one that we did. The second thing is looking at all of the one sentence prayers in Scripture. Do you know how many one sentence prayers there are? There's a lot of them, and just having language to use. Third one that we did is we created these kind of prayer cards, intentionally low tech, because sometimes my mind wanders. And so having a guide based in Scripture, but then with these prompts, intentionally low tech. So, and again, all this stuff we wanted to make available for free, all these tools. If you want to see them, you can go to leadwithprayer.com. But all of those things, including the prayer cards that we found so helpful in just guiding and focusing us. And then maybe the last one, and this was something that we heard from the Global Church, is time of retreat and fasting is normative for the Global Church. And yet it does not seem that is quite as normative in the Western Church. So what can we learn about the longer terms of retreat, longer times of silence, and what is this connection about stopping something that we do on a regular basis and devoting that time and how that sharpens the mind and deepens the prayer on that as well. So lots more I could say, but those are some of the personal ways that I've been impacted by the interviews, by the Global Church, and growing in prayer.
And one of the things that I so appreciated about the book and the resources is it comes with this invitation and this, not just invitation, but this encouragement to experiment, to try these different tools. And so for the Hope team, there was as part of the lead up to the launch of this book, there was this January prayer challenge that we participated in as a organization. And so each day there was a new tool that was introduced and the invitation to practice using the prayer cards or to practice going on a prayer walk. And we had a call just earlier this week reflecting on what were some of the things that we learned through this month of going through the January prayer challenge and experimenting with these different types of prayers and these tools that were given to us. And the one that jumped out the most that I heard several people mention was the invitation to do a chore and to pray alongside doing it. So go wash dishes and pray as you do that, or go mow your grass, or go do a task that you don't have to think hard about how you do that task, but do it in a way that is prayerful. And how many people said, that is something I'm going to carry with me, because there's so many tasks like that I'll either put a podcast in or I'll try and multitask in another way. And for more of those times to be a space where the multitasking I'm doing is talking with the Lord. For that to be a transformational experience for them. So that invitation to experimentation with all of these resources has been really rich for me personally and for our team.
Hmm. And Peter, one of the things that you said and shared was, as you guys looked into this in Scripture, the amount of times that there are one sentence or one phrase prayers in the Bible was astonishing to you. My wife and I have been reading the book, Habits of the Household, and the rules of life or the rhythms of life that are established in that book. I've been shocked and surprised going into this, and we're not that far into it, but we've kind of started to implement some morning routines, some bedtime routines with the kids, and how short the little prayers are in those rules of life that he establishes in that book were surprising to me. It's like, oh, man, this is a lot more simple than I think we want to make it out to be. So that really resonated with me.
Yeah, and that's Justin Whitmill Early, and he's one of the people that we interviewed for the book, and he was so kind and so gracious in sharing his story and some of the practices that he has found. So yeah, The Common Rule is first book, also super helpful in that idea of a rule of life. And in some ways, this is just really a focused idea. Really, let's look at what would the rule of life be for prayer practices and go deep in that one particular aspect.
So since you guys have released this, can you share any stories or examples of how God is using the book to impact leaders in their approach to prayer?
Yeah, I can share. Just yesterday, I had lunch with a couple in Minnesota, and they were at we had a book launch event on Monday. And so then I was with them just shortly afterwards, and they had jumped into the book. And what I so appreciated from what they shared, it's exactly as Dan said. It was, you know, we kind of had been, the word they use is kind of just drifting in our prayer life. And this feels like it's reinvigorating, re-energizing, giving us new tools to practice and to learn more about this incredible gift of prayer. And I guess that stands out because that's it. It's simple, but that is the goal, that this might be an equipping of all of us to really grow in prayer. So that's one feedback, but it's brand new. So hopefully we're going to have more stories. But I think the biggest thing that we've heard so far is just this gives new tools, new ways to reinvigorate a prayer life. And for that, we're just super, super thankful.
Awesome. Well, I want to take a moment to hear from today's sponsor, but when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Peter and Dan from Hope International. Hey, ministry leaders. Today's episode is sponsored by Click Nonprofit. Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money or marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, you are eligible to receive $120,000 per year in free advertising dollars. This allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results page and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and then manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com to learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up and get 20% off your first 3 months of management. All right, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Peter Greer and Dan Williams of Hope International about the book Lead with Prayer. Guys, as we get back into it, what are the common challenges that Christian leaders face when it comes to integrating prayer in their leadership, where they might have some practices in their own personal journey or own personal walk with the Lord? What are some of the nuances when it is applied to a leadership role that you guys can speak into? How does the book provide some guidance or solutions to overcome some of those challenges?
Yeah, I'll let Peter speak a little bit more to some of the ways that the book provides some solutions or ideas for how to address the challenge. But I think, you know, as anybody has stepped into a leadership position, there's a couple of things that can happen. Is one, the pace doesn't slow down, right? The pace of the responsibilities increase. And so practically, prioritizing those spaces of prayer can just become harder to do, that there's a greater scarcity of space to prioritize it in the same way. And so that's one limitation that I've experienced and I've seen others experience and talked with many leaders about. Another is that prayer is an inherently vulnerable space. It is acknowledging that you don't know the answers, that you can't do it on your own. And doing that corporately especially can be a very vulnerable space with your team. And so there's perhaps just our own instinct as leaders to want to feel like we've got this, that we have a path, that we have a vision, that we have a solution, goes against that posture of prayer that says, I don't got this. And unless the Lord builds the house, we're going to labor in vain. And so that's another reason why I think that stepping into leadership positions can go against some of the opportunities to deepen prayer as that happens. And then lastly, and oftentimes what happens when people are invited into greater levels of leadership or invited into greater levels of responsibility is it's done because they've been shown to be faithful with what they have been entrusted with. And so there's a tendency to look back at like, well, I got this because I did that. And so that's what I'm going to keep doing, and neglecting that there was also a foundation of dependence on the Lord, hopefully, that was underneath all of that. And so I think there is a tendency as you increase in responsibility and leadership as well to rely on those natural God-given strengths and gifts and abilities and to stop depending on the Lord for strength and guidance.
Yeah, I think that's so well said, Dan. Yeah, and I think of one of the interviews with a leader of an organization, and he said he was trying to create a culture of prayer. He was doing everything possible. He created a special room. He created a time, and it just didn't take off. In his words, it was like he was hoping for a wildfire, and it barely lit a spark on that. And in his time of prayer, he was convicted of this sense of you are trying to multiply by zero. And this idea, it doesn't matter how big the number is, you multiply zero, you get a zero on that. And for him, it was this invitation to say, no, we got some work to do in our own life first. We need to model, we need to learn, and then to invite others and that multiplication process. So I think one of the challenges is to think that we can create a culture of prayer by outsourcing prayer to others. We can create a vibrant prayer culture because we have the right space and time and not be on the journey ourselves. So I think this idea of model and then multiply is key. And then the other thing that you know, we heard again and again with those organizations that really did have this vibrant prayer culture is they were unapologetically going after things that were, they acknowledged were impossible in their own strength. So this idea, if there is no desperation, there is no prayerfulness. If what you're doing, you think you really have it, then you're just going to sprinkle a little prayer or pixie dust on your plans. But we found the organizations that are really having this thing of saying, what would it look like for thy kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven? What would it look like for us to go to the most marginalized? What would it look like? And let's dream about things that are impossible in our own strength. Desperation drives us to our knees. And I think that is a good place to be.
As you seek to establish a healthy prayer culture in the organization, how do you ensure that it's not just becoming another thing that I check off my list or an obligation that this is what the organization wants, and because I'm a part of this organization, I just have to do it? Like building, obviously you touched on the fact that it has to come down from the highest levels of leadership. This has to be something that the highest levels of leadership are serious about, they're implementing in their own lives. The people that work in the organization are seeing them take time to go and spend time in prayer. But how, as you guys have implemented this, how have you ensured that, and maybe ensure is a strong word, but how have you ensured that it's not just becoming something that I'm obligated to do because this is now a part of the culture? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense, Zach. And the answer to that is, you have to constantly pay attention. The rhythms and the habits that you've put in place today may not serve your organization in the same way in a year from now. And the rhythms and the patterns that you put into place, the rule of life you put in place as an organization a year ago might not be serving your organization in the same way today. And so coming back to the heart as an organization to why does this matter to us? And so one of the adages that we have as an organization that has helped to ground our prayer culture is we say that we believe that prayer isn't just in support of the work, it's part of the work. It is the work itself. And so helping to remind ourselves as leaders and individuals throughout the organization that we're doing this because we truly believe that it isn't just the prayerful pixie dust we've put on our plans, that this is the way that the work is going to get done. So that's one piece of it, and recognizing that there are times where we need to renew that invitation, that we need to revisit the rhythms and the rules that we've put in place. And that's part of what we've been doing over this past year as we've been going on this journey, and recognizing that as we've experienced change in our organization, our prayer habits having changed alongside it, and that we needed to revisit that to re-engage the team. But the other thing that's been encouraging, Zach, is one of the things that we do in our staff meetings is that we have these new staff interviews to get to know new staff members. And we always ask this question, like, what's something you've noticed unique about your experience working for Hope International? And for many people that transition to a workplace like Hope, that have come from a corporate work environment or a non-Christian work environment, is they almost always say, it is so refreshing to have prayer be a part of my work day. And for that not to be something that I have to create my own time for, but my workplace is inviting me to do that. That is so refreshing. And so reminding ourselves that this is an invitation that we have, just as you again put it, Zach, that invitation to intimacy with the Lord, that invitation to communion with Him. And that's what we want to prioritize. And so re-extending that invitation from time to time in a way that is grace-filled, a way that is understanding of the days or the times or the seasons where it might not work to participate in quite the same ways, but re-extending that invitation.
That's good. One of the things that you said was at the beginning, kind of stuck out, the idea of paying attention. I just got done with a book called Anatomy of the Soul. And one of the things that Dr. Kurt Thompson talks about, I've talked about this on the show a handful of times, but this idea of paying attention to what we're paying attention to. And I usually correlate that to what's going on in my own mind, but even within the organization, paying attention to what's going on in the organization and are these rhythms, have they just become something that we're doing and we're checking off the list, or is it actually still working like we want it to? And so that just kind of stuck out. Now, the subtitle of the book mentions this importance of growing and multiplying prayer. Peter, you talked about and referenced multiplying prayer earlier. First, can we define what that looks like? What is multiplying prayer? And then can you share how you guys envision Christian leaders being able to multiply the impact of prayer within the spheres of their influence?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. If you look at Google Images, if you type in prayer, the vast majority are going to show you individuals in a posture of prayer. The vast majority, as if prayer, according to Google, is an individual activity. And there's good reason for that, right? We know the Sermon on the Mount, and we know this is not about a show. This is about a heart. And so go into the closet, shut the door. So we know the importance of the prayer closet. But if we look at Scripture, it's that was not to say that's the only way, time, place that we should pray. We're trying to figure out how we have the prayer closet and the prayer boardroom, the prayer closet and the praying organization. And one of the pieces that really, it's really the final third of the book is all about, okay, if you've been on this journey of prayer, how do we not just keep it to ourselves? How do we invite others in? And my experience is that the experience of corporate prayer, it is materially different than just individual prayer. There's something about when two or three or more are gathered, there's something different that happens. And so what does that look like for us to, yes, have our prayer closets, but also to have prayer in the boardroom and to do it individually and to do it with others? And again, there's just so much to explore in that. With the disciples, in their relationship with Jesus, in the early church, we see corporate prayer as normative, and that's been also part of what we've been able to learn about. What I found so interesting, too, is there are examples that we found that, unfortunately, some very large corporations, their legal departments did not allow us to tell these stories in the book. We didn't get the final sign-off. But what I found so interesting is that even in corporate America, this idea of prayer groups is taking off in some extremely well-known organizations and corporations. And so it just kind of pushes the boundaries for us of where is this possible? How is it possible? And I'm just, a little bit disappointed that the legal teams did not allow us to tell the stories, but we sure were inspired by even in corporate America. There is a vibrant culture of prayer taking off among some leading organizations, and that was so encouraging to hear as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome and surprising. That's cool. Let's take another moment to hear from today's sponsor, but when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Peter Greer and Dan Williams of Hope International. Hey, church leaders. Today's episode is sponsored by Kingdom Stories. When it comes to your digital marketing and content strategies, have you ever wondered how you can use the power of storytelling and testimony? Imagine the impact. Stories and testimonies that resonate, that move hearts and minds. Testimonies that prepare people to receive gospel truths. Here's the problem. You're busy doing ministry and you don't have time to worry about your content strategies. And you definitely don't have time to worry about one more program. You already have too much on your plate. And the consequences? You're not taking full advantage of digital. The content you do post gets ignored. You have no plan or strategy for your digital engagement. And ultimately, God doesn't get the glory he deserves because we're not testifying of his transformational and redemptive work. What would it look like if your people knew how to share their testimony? Your monthly content strategies were filled with stories instead of self-promotional content. And your content was focused on your people and God's work in their lives. What if your content was actually engaging because it was story-driven? Kingdom Stories is more than a service. It's a catalyst for transformative digital communication. Stories change lives. Stories are engaging. And everyone has a story. What has happened in my life can happen in your life too. Here's the best part. You don't have to do the heavy lifting. Kingdom Stories will handle everything from start to finish. If you want to learn more, or get our free content strategy map that will outline the entire process, go to kingdomstories.us. We know how overwhelming and frustrating content strategies and digital marketing can be, so we've solved that problem for you. Stop creating aimless content. Let us help you tell the stories coming out of your ministry. Let stories and testimonies
fuel your church's digital outreach.
All right, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Peter Greer and Dan Williams of Hope International. Guys, how have you personally experienced transformation in your leadership journey through the emphasis on prayer? And what are some insights that readers can gain from your own experiences that either might be shared in this book or have come about on the back end of the release of this thing?
Yeah, Zach, one of the standout moments for me was when we had the interview with Johnny Erickson Tata, who, when she was a teenager, became paralyzed, and she has spent her life in incredible pain, still even today, needing to be woken up, and just pain is what she lives with. And she said something so fascinating. I can't stop thinking about it. And it is one of the ways that we've been shaped. But she talked about how when individuals come and ask for prayer, she does pray for whatever the issue is that they come and ask for prayer for. So she says, I pray no more than 20% for that issue. The remaining 80%, I am praying that God would do an incredible work in the midst of the challenge. And she shared how even when you look at the prayers of Paul and when he's praying for the church, he's not just praying for rescue and that individuals would get out of their current circumstance. It's that God would be experienced in the midst of it, that good would happen in the midst of it. And that, on a very practical way, changes the way that we pray. Are we just praying for our list of this is what we want because we think we know what God should do in this instance, in our way, in our timeline, or is our prayer a little bit deeper, a little bit beyond? And yes, Lord, we are praying for this issue. And in the midst of it, would you do your incredible work? And in Johnny Erickson Tata's life, having this conversation, she said, and I believe, she said, I would take the injury, I would take the loss, I would take the pain again and again and again if it means that I have this intimacy with Jesus. I mean, And I truly believe she means that on that. So what are we praying for is one way that I think we have the opportunity to maybe grow, expand. And is it just, here's what I think is best. Here's what I need you to do, God. Or is it a little bit more, but God, I trust you. Help me experience your nearness, your closeness, even as I'm going through this. And Psalm 23 is this fascinating example where it starts by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. It starts in the third person, but then it shifts to the second person. It shifts to you. You are with me. And do you know when that shift happens from the Lord to you? It's in the valley of the shadow of death. It's in that moment, as if he can't help. He's writing about this experience that changed in the midst of pain. And I think that's what we heard again and again. It was actually in those valleys, in the valley of the shadow of death. That is where it went from the Lord to you are with me. That is the miracle sometimes, the miracle of presence in the midst of still some really challenging situations.
That's a really powerful story. Well, it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the conversation is like, what he's ultimately interested in and after is deep, intimate relationship with us, his creation. And her story just kind of confirms that she'd rather have that pain and suffering and have deep, intimate relationship with Jesus than have that to be taken away. And maybe in the midst of that, have that relationship with the Lord taken away or be less than what it is. Man, that hits heavy. Dan, would you share anything additional to that?
Yeah, so for me, it was a very similar takeaway of transforming my prayer life from this expectation of a response to a relationship and a conversation, and thinking about even just how many conversations with my wife, where we're talking through major issues that we're facing as a couple with our children and family, and how the goal of those conversations is not always to get to a resolution immediately, but to better understand and to be more aware of how each other are thinking about it and to be shaped by that. And then to find wisdom within it, of course. And so I think that invitation in one of the chapters. It talks about just even wasting time with the Lord as this invitation into intimacy. And how do I think about the time that I'm spending with the Lord in prayer? Is it about just getting something at the end of it, an answer, comfort, guidance, some wisdom, or is it about just better knowing and experiencing the presence of the Lord in the midst of whatever we're talking about as we're having those conversations?
Wasting time with the Lord. I love that.
Yeah, and that was from John Kim, New York financier and incredibly successful investor. And that's what he said. He said, that's what he does. He wastes time with God. And he said, that's what friends do, right? That's what friends do. And if we want to have friendship with Jesus, that requires hanging out. It requires spending time together. It requires wasting time. And that is certainly the way that I would not think of prayer. That is not the way that I would think of my life. But there's something really beautiful about that.
Well, and I mean, if I'm honest with my own prayer life, like how many times do I just treat my prayer life as if God's this genie that I'm coming to solve all my problems? So that piece that you were talking about, Peter, where 80% of prayer is the hope is that it would be God would be experienced in the midst of that. And as you were sharing that, it's like, man, that's the entire biblical narrative, right? God creates, we introduce sin into this story, and he could have just restarted and started over or fixed it right then and there. But instead, his immediate and first response is an invitation into partnership with him in this redemptive narrative, like this grand redemptive narrative. He promises he's going to make a resolution to it, but he invites his people into that redemptive story. And again, it's so much like this God that we serve. Everything, it seems, he's out for intimate relationship. The theme of this conversation, like that's what he's after. That's what he's pursuing. He's relentless about it. He could have solved the problem right off the bat, but that God would be experienced in the midst of what we did and what we introduced. That's cool. Thank you for sharing that. Let's transition a little bit. As Christian leaders engage with this book, what is some of the encouragement and advice or guidance that you guys would offer to help them fully embrace and implement the principles that you guys discuss in the book?
Super simple suggestion, but don't read it alone. It was written in community, in friendship, and I think it is best experienced in community and friendship. So invite some others to go on the journey. And again, that's our hope. It's not just something to read, but it's something to be experienced in all of us growing in prayer.
I would just affirm that. So my wife and I are reading through the Habits of the Household. We're not doing it with a group in like an official capacity. There's no small group that I got established so that we could read this together. But the couples, our close knit community in our church, there's a handful of couples that have said, hey, let's just read this together. There's no hard deadline. There's no timeline that we all have to finish this by. We don't have to finish chapter one by next week. We're just saying we're all going to read this together as husbands and wives so that when we do come together, when we gather together, when we're hanging out for the Super Bowl coming up or whatever it is, that we have something else to talk about and discuss and engage with one another around what we're reading and engaging with in that book. And so it doesn't have to be this like, oh, we're establishing the next 8-week small group and this is what we're going to read through and we're going to finish chapter one in the first 3 days. Like there can be other ways and creative ways in which we can do that. So that's good. Dan, would you add anything to that?
Just speaking more from Hope International's corporate experience of this is again, that invitation to experiment and to try something from it. In the same way that Peter said, don't read it alone. Don't just read it. Read it and try something would be where I would say we've experienced so much more benefit, I think, because we have been experimenting alongside it, along with it.
Thank you. Offline, you guys mentioned the website. Well, actually, even in this conversation, the website leadwithprayer.com. Can you share some more about the additional resources and tools that are available on the site that complement the book and how leaders can leverage them? And we've talked about this a little bit, but if I go to that site, what am I looking for? How am I going to get there? What's the best direction you can give for that?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some real simple tools because, again, we wanted to make this as easy to take steps forward as possible. So one of the things are these prayer cards that I have personally found to be really helpful in my prayer life. So these are cards that you can go through. Second thing is there is an app. We've been working with Parable Group and the Echo Prayer app. And this is a way not just for you, but for others to be invited into this prayer. And I don't know about you, Zach, but I used to say, I will pray for you. And I had less than 100% follow through on that. That has gone up significantly because I'm able to write it down in real time. And it's an incredible tool to just go. So that's one thing. And then we also have a prayer assessment for you and your organization. You can go through a very cool, simple way of saying, where am I right now as it relates to prayer? And to maybe get what is my baseline on that. Also have a sample rule of life related to prayer. Outline for you to see some examples of what would it look like on that. So lots more on there, but leadwithprayer.com for the tools for those that want to take the next steps in, leading with prayer.
And then you guys are on a bit of a promotional tour for the book right now. Are there any other podcasts that you're showing up on that we could point to or link to as resources for the book?
Zach, that's an extremely kind question on that. And we are sharing on other podcasts, other platforms. It's kind of fun too, because, you know, we have the opportunity to do it with there multiple of us. So a couple different venues. We are on the Think Global, Do Justice podcast tomorrow. That's the next one that I know that's coming up. But we're really excited to share the message of the book wherever those open doors are. And Zach, thank you for having us. Thank you for having this conversation. Yeah. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Man, this has been a fun conversation. I've resonated with a lot of the things that we've talked about. As we wrap up, are there any last thoughts, last things that you might want to share that maybe we didn't talk about?
Yeah, and the only thing I would add is if we really do believe that God is involved in this mystery of prayer, why in the world would we try to do it on our own? Why in the world would we try to do it on our own in our own strength when we can tap into the wisdom of God and have that relationship through the Holy Spirit? Why would we try to do this on our own? So our hope and what we've experienced is that, there is so much more to prayer, and it is a journey that we can't wait to keep going on individually and organizationally to continue to grow in this incredible gift that we've been given of prayer.
Yeah. One thing that I'll share, and you touched on this, Zach, early on, is this: how do organizations incorporate a prayer habit, and kind of what is the difference in a Christ-centered ministry and Christians doing ministry? And one of the things that I love about this book is it points to prayer as one of the distinctives that we have. And we know, and we experienced this so acutely during the pandemic, where there was more data than there ever was about what was happening, but there was less discernment about what should be done than just about any time in history. We had less clarity as a collective society about what do we do with all this information. And prayer is one of those ways that plugs us into the most powerful corporate discernment force in the world, which is the Holy Spirit. And I think that is one of the great distinctives that we have as a ministry, is that ability to connect corporately and individually into the same source of the Holy Spirit's wisdom to learn how we can learn and grow together. So that's one of the things that I love about this book and what it's been reminding us is this is important because it grounds us and it brings us together. And prayer is such a key habit in that.
Hmm. Thank you guys for sharing. As we wrap up, can I pray for you both? Father, I just thank you so much for this conversation, the blessing that it was to me. I pray for Peter and Dan as they continue to lead Hope and implement some of the things that we talked about today, that you would just go before them, give them guidance and wisdom. Father, I pray that this book would be a blessing to your church, that your church would take seriously prayer and seek you and seek intimate relationship with you, Father, because that seems like what you seem to be after. And so I just pray for the book and its success, that it would reach and provide guidance and wisdom and simple things that we can do as followers of you to have healthier prayer lives. That it would just be a blessing to your bride, Father. We love you. Thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing. Thank you for Hope, and pray that you would just continue to move in and through this amazing organization, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Guys, thanks so much for being on the show, coming and talking about Lead with Prayer and how you guys are implementing it in Hope International. We'll put some of the things that we discuss in the show notes, but I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Zach. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks, Zach, for having us.
Yeah. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Growth Show. If you've enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story or expertise to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be a great guest for the show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at podcast@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry's story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org and book a call today. See you next time.